I only have an issue if I feel it's predatory and you're marketing on the guise of unrealistic expectations. So peep this out, guys. Anybody who has something to necessarily sell you and the selling pitch is a little bit unrealistic, that's what you should watch out for. So people that don't have any tech experience, don't have these other jobs with high transferable skills that can necessarily demand you six figures, I want you to beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. If someone is telling you, hey, if you pay me this amount of money and in 3 months you will get a six-figure job, I want you to scratch your head a little bit, right? Now hear me out. So let's say, for instance, the person says, okay, come to my academy, you pay $10,000, you learn all this stuff, and in 3 months you should be able to get you $130,000 cybersecurity position, right? If everything is fair and all even, cool. But the one thing that they're not mentioning to you is that's senior level pay. That's not entry level pay. Number two, you're going to put your 3 months versus someone who's been already in the industry 3 to 4 years. Last week, if you were following me on IG or anywhere else, you saw that I was not at home like I typically am. I was at a work conference. It's a 3-day work conference and it was in Orlando. And let me tell you guys, it was a blast. This was the first time I had ever did something like this, like company-wise. Like, I've been to conferences, but this is the first internal conference just for a certain level of employees at the company. Y'all heard me in the past in a couple of episodes talking about how I really enjoyed the new company so far. And this is like the icing on top. It was very cool. Took us to a very nice place. Right here, you'll see like pictures and some videos up of how the place looked. And it was just dope. Really pouring back into us. Had us a good time. Free food. Last night of like the conference, we had like this casino night. So everybody got, we had a theme and like we planned a casino. I gave my voucher away. I'm not really into gambling or whatever, but this was dope. Networked with a lot of different people that I wouldn't typically see because we're mostly remote. And this is one of the ways that companies can still have the culture they want to build by doing events like this. You don't have to make us come into the office like that. So if you want to get the betterment of your employees, do stuff like this. And I cannot tell you how many people I talked to that they had been at this company 5+ years, 10 plus years, some, you know, 15, 20. That's a lot. So that's kind of really encouraging because most of us know, I made a joke in this group chat. I said, I quit jobs and find new ones. But no, all in all, that's just dope. And these people have been able to start off like on lower levels and go to the top. Well, not necessarily, we don't say top. We'll just say they've been able to do different things at the company. Most companies will try to pigeonhole you in to, you know what I'm saying, where they want you to be at. But guys, welcome back to episode 88 of the Textual Talk Podcast, where I'm your host, HD. This is a solo episode today. And like I was saying earlier, the event was dope. Actually, Eric pulled up on me. Hey, y'all, look who pulled up on me.
My boy.
He stays in Florida, so if you guys don't know, we had never met each other in person, but so we met in person and it was like it's like we always known each other. It's pretty cool. We'll be linking up again in the summer, and yeah, man, y'all just gotta watch out, man. We definitely have fun. But let me wake y'all up real quick. Today's gonna be a short episode. Stuff I gotta get out, stuff I gotta share with y'all. I like to be transparent with y'all because I'm the voice of reason. So let's get into it. So one of the first things I want to talk about is, now Daysmink and I have talked about this before in other episodes, we talked about this before, but I want to talk about it a little bit more in depth, is cybersecurity and unrealistic expectations that come from people that want to get in, but also some of the people who are already here. And I want you guys to listen to me. I've been talking about this the last couple of episodes, and because I want to say mostly primarily of my viewers possibly are African-American and of also maybe other ethnic backgrounds that don't come from having the capital to dispose of to get into, you know, cybersecurity. With that being said, you guys have to really do your due diligence when you're out here trying to figure out how you're going to get into cybersecurity and seeing exactly what is being promised to you and does it actually make sense. Now, I've been saying this about all these different boot camps and all these different organizations. I will put a disclaimer up. I have no issue with boot camps. programs, academies, anything. I only have an issue if I feel it's predatory and you're marketing on the guise of unrealistic expectations. So peep this out, guys. Anybody who has something to necessarily sell you and the selling pitch is a little bit unrealistic, that's what you should watch out for. So we saw in 2020 the rise of all the influencers coming out here and advertising, oh yeah, you know, I'm working from the beach because I'm in cybersecurity and all these different things. And you see how that's really, I will preface it by saying this, you can get there, but it typically takes time to get there. A lot of us who've been in the industry, I've been in a decade. I can be remote. I can work different places, but I'm not on here selling my lifestyle to you guys in order for you guys to come buy from me. I rather want to show you guys my value of being able to help you for you to do business with me, but not me try to trick you in that sense, especially people that don't have experience. This is for you. People that don't have any tech experience, don't have these other jobs with high transferable skills that can necessarily demand you six figures, I want you to beware of the wolves in sheep's clothing. If someone is telling you, hey, if you pay me this amount of money and in 3 months you will get a six-figure job, I want you to scratch your head a little bit, right? And hear me out. Let's say, for instance, the person says, okay, come to my academy, you pay $10,000, you learn all this stuff, and in 3 months you should be able to get you $130,000 cybersecurity position, right? If everything is fair and all even, cool. But the one thing that they're not mentioning to you is that's senior level pay. That's not entry level pay. Number two, you're going to put your 3 months versus someone who's been already in the industry 3-4 years. So I want you to kind of get that visualization in your head so you can understand of, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's very unlikely. And that's a very good return on investment. And for my investors out there, they know that return on investment doesn't really work that well. Think about it. You are a person, we're going to say you are a sanitation worker. Shout out to y'all. You guys, you know, some hardworking blue collar men, so, and women, shout out to y'all. But let's say you want to be more flexible in your career. You want to have more career advancement opportunities and you just don't want to get up every day. You want to work from home. So do you think by paying your $10,000 that you will automatically be able to get these roles just because you learned the skills in 3 months? Now, I know people saying, well, you coach people and you say you can help them get in cybersecurity. You're absolutely right. I do. However, I do two things. One, we'll consult first and we'll let you know if I think you would be a good candidate for coaching or if I'll say, hey, you need to go learn this, this, and this first, and then let's work later on. Two, I have a lot of free material out there for you guys, so you don't necessarily have to come just buy from me, because that way you know I'm just not out here to get your money. Three, I always tell everyone, I cannot make you any promises, number one. Number two, this is hard. I've had people that have got a job within a week. I've got people that's gotten jobs in months, and it's just all different. And most of these roles were not six figures. Matter of fact, none of them were six figures. I think the highest one starting off, someone got like maybe 80. And now, like I've been saying in other episodes, when did it, you know, become bad for your first entry-level role for you make $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, which is still more than everybody else in America? I think the biggest issue is most of us want to live a certain lifestyle. And that's why I want you to just be leery of the people that are showing you certain lifestyles you can live just by getting in cybersecurity, because most of the time their only job is not cybersecurity or they have multiple jobs. And shout out to them for that. But if they're not telling you that, they're selling you a little bit of a facade. You have to be at the top of the game to get the roles to pay the $200,000 plus. Like I said, they're out here for people like me, but I've been here for a while. Or if you have a realistic skill set that you did over the last 3-4 years, you can get it. If you don't, just put the work in and you'll get there. And this is not for every content creators. Like, I got content creators that showed a different way. Like, hey, they've been doing this for years and they've told people, like, I've shouted out Bees before. I'm going to shout Bees out again because plenty of times she's talked about how she's been in the government space for a long time and how she gave people to play on how to, hey, go work overseas, make all this money and then come back, level up, get these other certs maybe, or this experience of getting GovCon. And that way, that's totally different. That's not saying, hey, come to me, pay me $15,000 and I'm going to help you get a clearance and then you finna make six figures in the government. Nah, that's not what she's doing. But so I'm going to do that in case people want to say I might be throwing shots at that. She's not really doing, I mean, she showed her day and life stuff, but it's not necessarily geared straight so you can buy from her per se. So let's see what else I want to get into. So segueing into some other stuff, right? This episode is really more so about cybersecurity, and I may have some news topics to talk about. It was I made a post on my LinkedIn. It was about newcomers struggling to get into cybersecurity. And let me see if I found it. Okay, it's about last week. So I said, my people who are still trying to get into cybersecurity, what do you think your biggest issue is? And I'm going to go through some of these comments I got, and I'm going to try to answer them real quick. All right, so one of my guys said, at this point, I believe the biggest issue for me is getting in front of hiring managers. If we had hiring managers being more open to job seekers and letting us know what they're looking for directly, I believe that the communication barrier would be broken. Recruiters and consultants can only do so much. We need to hear more from the hiring managers and need managers to take responsible chances on dedicated newbies with soft skills. Okay, so to combat that, what if I told you that sometimes it's like 50-50? So a lot of times the hiring managers don't write the job description, and sometimes they do. Sometimes they are directly involved with what they want. And it's also dependent on the role, on how likely would they take a chance on the person who might not have the requisite skills, number one. Number two, like I answered him in his comment, I said, hey, normally when recruiters reach out to me and the job description is very vague, I always get clarity. And I say, hey, what does the hiring manager exactly want for this position? Why do I say that? Because a lot of times they want something different than what's on the job description. I may fit what they want, but the job description is all over the place and it's not really, it's not the best representation to the job description, honestly, especially to the day-to-day. So that's one of the ways. Number two, you really have to, I'm going to say this over and over again, but market, sell yourself, and stuff that you're doing as a newbie has to be enough to where they say, okay, it's not so bad. I can help them out. That's how I feel about that. I don't want to spend all day on that one. Let's see. It's another one. I think everyone is starting to say they're having an issue with somebody wanting to take a chance on them. And I agree with that sentiment. I think a lot of companies have been burned by taking chances on sometimes people who necessarily, and this is why I tell people sometimes you do have to show that passion and zeal in an interview. Because like I said, I'm not mad at you for wanting to get in cyber for the money, but if it's just for the money and you don't have the zeal to keep on learning or get good at your craft, you could potentially run into issues and just half-ass your job. And that could be an issue as well. And why hiring managers would not try to hire people that don't really have the experience that they're looking for. All right, one of them says, I'm actually trying to stay in cyber. I keep getting rejected still. I'm not even getting interviews. If you're not getting interviews, 9 times out of 10, it's your resume. Literally, if you're not getting interviews, your resume is not good. And this can also mean that you just, and when I say not good, this means that you may not have the skills you need on there. You may not be marketing yourself the right way. It might be too long. Nobody's going through all the information. There's not, they don't have the pertinent information that they need to see on there in order to make a decision on should we screen this person or not. So if you're not even getting screened, it's 100% your resume. I'm not willing to bet that. And while we're at it right now, guys, so the last couple of episodes, I've been telling you that I've been working on financing to be able to service more people. I want to let you know that Textual Consulting does now offer financing on our coaching packages. So if you still need help, and you are unable to pay the lump sum at one time, please reach out and we can work out a financing plan for you that can help you still get service and so we can help you level up in your career. One of them said they're having issues because their interview skills might be lacking. And this is also a fact. Interviewing is a skill within itself. This video is sponsored by Textual Consulting.
My name is Unri Davis, and I run Textual Consulting. I use my 10 years of experience in IT and cybersecurity in order to help you reach your career goals. So if you're once like me, trying endlessly to get into cybersecurity, but you're having no luck, then you should check me out. I've helped plenty of people get into cybersecurity. I've helped people with no experience, people with mid-level experience, even senior-level people. I've helped all type of people. And my approach is simple. If you watch some of my videos, I'll show you how to brand yourself, how to job search, how to kill your interview. And most of all, we work on those transferable skills that you have gained in other jobs, and we bring them to the cyberspace. Trust me, there are a lot of skills that you have that you may not be aware of that will be useful to you in this career choice. So if that's you, check us out, book a consultation. Also have financing available for those of you who cannot afford to pay one lump sum. And yeah, like I always say, I'm ready to help you guys, and let's stay textual, and we are out.
When I have new clients and we just start getting the ball rolling and getting interviews, I say, let's keep on trying to get more and more. I said, you may not knock your first, second, or even third one out, but if we keep on getting interviews, especially for their similar roles, you're going to get so much better after every interview, especially if you take notes and you can record it. That's one of the easiest, one of the easiest interviewing tips you can have is to take notes and record your interview. You can listen back to your interview, see how confident you sound, see what you had issues with, write that down, go study it. Therefore, when the next interview comes around, you can kill it. Also, like what I used to do is if they asked me a good question that I got through or barely got through, I would use that scenario on another interview if they were asking me something that'd be similar to that. So I already had an answer for it because they told me previously in the interview. So these are some of the ways that you can finesse getting better at your interviews. And that's just one way. Now, we also had the inception of AI. You can ask ChatGPT certain interview questions. You can ask them and it could, you know, rank what you said. Okay, two more. I'm not going to spend all day on this. One of the other ones said that they were having an issue with the whole experience piece. And that is probably the one of the bigger things people tend to struggle with, especially when you're a newbie. And for that, I say, one, so how you learn the skills is you can do all these different labs and all these other different things, and that's how you can get the skills. That's one of the ways, right? So once you do the labs, now you take what you learn from the labs, and then you start, you do two things. You can network with different people that do the job that you do, and you can ask them, hey, what was something I would be doing at this job on a day-to-day? Something like that. Tell you at a high level. Write that down. Try to replicate it in your own home environment, home lab environment. Now, will this help you get every job? No. But this is a way to replicate some actual real-world experience on your resume. Number two, you can volunteer. Shout out to Kenna. Kenna was telling everybody, hey, volunteer for nonprofits. Start your own company. Help out churches. Help out small businesses. You'd be surprised that, hey, a small business may or may not be hosting their own website, but may need help, you know, with a vulnerability assessment. And I'm talking about everywhere from, you know, physical security, hardware, to other things that you could probably track, right? That's paid experience, or it could just be free, but you can notate that, report it up. You could talk about that in the interview. Think about how many people that are going to interview that hadn't said, hey, I directly helped decrease the risk in a small business by helping them keep, you know, this is super simple on a super level, because I'm not expecting you to know how to do all these things, but I helped them update their OS. We got a better AV solution on their computer. We made sure they rotated out their password. They didn't write their passwords down. They use a password manager now. We made sure that they hid their Wi-Fi for people and it wasn't public. And we segmented the Wi-Fi. Had a way that they do their payment card transactions where they store different things, right? You could write those down and talk about them. That's a project. Or you can call it experience, whatever company you want to name it, right? And then the last one was a person was saying that they had issues with finding mentors or other people in the industry to help them out. And I just always say, use LinkedIn. Mentoring is tough because a lot of people are super busy and it's hard to just be a mentor. You have to show yourself valuable to be someone's mentee. So if you just say, hey, I want you to be my mentor, I'm going to be like, well, I'm for coaching, but I don't really do mentorships. I tell people, here's what I'll do. You keep on putting in the work and you come to me and ask me like to review some, or if you like it, and I'll tell you yes or no. Like, I have a client, her name was Destiny. Well, not necessarily a client, she did a consult. But what she ended up doing was every time she was working on something, she would keep on sending it to me on LinkedIn and I would review. I say, this is good. Oh, why'd you look at this or look into that? But I wasn't necessarily guiding every move they did. They were also doing their own networking and doing everything else. That's how you do it. That's how you start being able to get different mentors. People will help you if you're helping yourself. That's how I see it. But that's kind of some of the questions I saw on that. And I also want to touch on something funny briefly, also with LinkedIn, is if you guys don't know, I clipped up a part of my last podcast episode when I was answering questions from you guys, when someone wanted me to cover the Security Plus cert fiasco on Twitter. And so I used ChatGPT to title me a good video that people would click on, and I made a good thumbnail, and it did get good views. Well, this also got detractors and people who were really like, I don't know what they were doing, but they were tripping, reaching out to me on LinkedIn about the stuff I either said in my video or did they even watch, or people trying to come on my thing, trying to say, oh, don't listen to this person or whatever. And my just advice for that was like, please don't do that on my LinkedIn, because I will block you, because it's LinkedIn. I don't want to get to you like I do on Twitter or on YouTube. Simple. Now, if you have something to say, leave it in the YouTube comments. Don't come on LinkedIn with it. I had a guy message me saying my video was negative, but he didn't watch it. And then he proceeded to try to give me like 10 video titles I could use. This dude was not into cybersecurity. Number two, he never watched the video. So why would I care what he was talking about? I had a guy trying to tell me, oh, this other stuff about Security Plus. I'm like, fam, if y'all understand the context of what I was talking about, you listen. I know y'all's mad at the title, but who cares? I'm telling you, truth be told, outside of government space, a lot of hiring managers do not care about your certifications because they don't matter. I haven't had nobody ask me if my, you know, certs were up to date in years. All of them are expired. So just take that with a grain of salt. Now, I do like constructive criticisms. One person coming on a video, and I forgot who it was, but shout out to them. They'll tell me on one of my pod episodes that I wasn't not engaging enough, I guess, when someone answered, like my answers were a little shallow. And at first I was upset about it, and this is me being transparent, not upset. I was like, what are they talking about? But instead of just being mad, I took it. And so the last episode I had with Jasmine, that's when you saw me, hey, you know what? I'm going to really engage more and bring more stuff out of the conversation. So I was actually glad they told me that. And sometimes people being truthful is tough to swallow. You know what I'm saying? But it helps out. And last but not least, man, shout out to my client. And he's going to come back on here. He's been on here before. We just helped him double his salary at Textual Consulting. So he's going to go from making 62K to 125K TC. And this is in a span of 2 years. So he didn't start off with six figures. He went from like 32 to like 34 or some whatever to 62 to now 125 at a senior level role at a big entertainment company. We'll talk about it more if he wants to talk about who he's going to be working for. And that's just another story of just trust the process and put the work in versus you think after whatever you've done that fast, you should get a senior level role, but you don't have the senior level skills. That's how I'm keeping it. You know what I'm saying? As you know, Coursera has released the Google Cybersecurity Professional Certificate. And people have been asking me my thoughts on it. And truth be told, I don't have any thoughts yet because I have not taken the course. I don't know much about it. It just launched, what, I think a week or two ago. So there's not much about it. But right here, I'm going to actually read some things about the course. And I may try to delve into it so to give you guys a little bit of insight if you're thinking about it. That's what we do real time. So the course is beginner level. And it's framed to be at least 6 months with a flexible schedule. What you'll learn is the importance of cybersecurity practices and their impact for organizations, identifying common risks, threats, and vulnerabilities, as well as techniques to mitigate them, protect network devices, people, and data from unauthorized access, cyber attacks using SIEM tools, and gain hands-on experience with Python, Linux, and SQL. It says that with this course, you'll be able to get professional level training, demonstrate proficiency in portfolio ready projects, earn an employer recognized certificate from Google, qualify for in demand job titles, cybersecurity analyst, security analyst, SOC analyst. And also with Coursera, you'll get a resume review, interview prep, and career support. I actually have a link for Coursera too. If you guys are interested by me even saying this stuff, I'll have the link in the description where you can get your free trial and you can just use my link and sign up for Coursera. So here's the certificate. It has 8 courses, Foundations of Cybersecurity, 13 hours, Play It Safe, Manage Security Risk, 12 hours, Connect and Protect Networks and Network Security, 14 hours, Tools of the Trade, Linux and SQL, which is 25 hours, Assets, Threats and Vulnerabilities, 21 hours, Sound the Alarm Detection and Response, 21 hours, Automate Cybersecurity Tasks with Python, 27 hours, Put It to Work, Prepare for Cybersecurity Jobs, 15. So, I mean, these are some lengthy courses. Let me look at this Connect and Protect. I just want to see what's in here. Okay. It don't really tell me exactly in there, but it's a, so far all these things have close to 5-star, if not 4.9 out of 5-star rating. So that's pretty much what I've seen with that course. I have tried to reach out to the people behind the scenes. So hopefully if I could take it maybe and give you guys my insight on it, that way I could tell you if, you know, if I believe it or not. Right now, I am in the process also reviewing the CCD, which is the Certified Cyber Defenders course, Blue Team Cert. So far, so good. The first module in it was me actually using Nessus on one of the servers in the environment, and we scanned for Log4j. And if you guys aren't familiar with that, go research that attack. Well, not attack, but that vulnerability. I believe that was late 2021. And then 2022, they were still dealing with Log4 shell, where it had to do with like a JavaScript and everybody was like vulnerable to it. So people were busy during that time when Log4 shell was out. But that is something realistic. That is something that you can build off of more when using Nessus. You'll find Nessus on a lot of cybersecurity jobs, especially asset management roles or vulnerability management. Nessus is always hot. Nessus, Qualys, Rapid7, you name it. Here's a couple of articles that I came across that I thought would be pretty interesting. All right, y'all. So Discord has disclosed another, well, we got another data breach. Discord has disclosed a data breach after a support agent got hacked. Let's find out about it. Discord is notifying users of a data breach that occurred after an account of a third-party support agent was compromised. I'm interested in this. This is one of the easier ways to get into an environment because a lot of times support agents, help desk, technical roles, they have a lot of access to different things. The security breach exposed the agent's support ticket queue, which contained user email addresses, message exchange with Discord support, and any attachments sent as part of the tickets. Discord says it immediately addressed the breach support account by disabling it once the incident was discovered. Due to the nature of the incident, it is possible that your email address, the contents of customer service messages, and any attachments sent between you and Discord may have been exposed to a third party. Discord said in letters to affected users. Well, I wasn't affected, but I have Discord, but I barely use it. It's only to be like a user in other people's Discord channels, I guess. As soon as Discord was made aware of the issue, we deactivated the compromised account and completed malware checks on the affected machine. They also worked with customer service partner to implement effective measures to prevent similar incidents in the future. If you have been affected by the data breach on Discord, keep an eye out for any suspicious activity like fraud attempts or phishing attacks. Although Discord considers the risk minimal, it's better to stay cautious. Let's see. Oh, how I feel about that briefly is 9 times out of 10, it had to be maybe a fish where they got the customer service agent for the fact that they said they're looking out for suspicious messages or activities such as fraud or phishing attempts. You know, one of those two, or maybe they stole the support agent's session. One of those things, acting like they need help and got them that way. I'm interested to see how they got them because learning out about these attacks is how you prepare countermeasures for these in the future. That's what I feel and that's what I know. But it's just crazy that everybody is getting breached, man. Like, for real, it makes zero sense. Break the most out of your career. This thing is not a sprint. It's a marathon. I want you right now. There's a lot of different people pulling you in different areas. You can even say I'm pulling you in a different area. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be offended. For yourself, write down what you really want to do when it comes to cybersecurity. Then go read, like I said plenty of times, research the jobs. Write the stuff down. Try to get proficient in a couple of the skills that you need, right? Try to see how much you can do maybe on your own first. Then if you need extra help, some organized learning, go sign up for that. But if you can afford it, then don't pay for it. Look for other ways. Or go to community college. Get those. It's, you probably won't end up paying nothing. You'll get some free classes and also some certifications out of it. And I know someone's like, you're always talking bad about certifications. Why don't you tell somebody to get one? I only say that if you're not learning the information. If you're not learning the information, there's no good to you. It's just something you got. Like, funny enough, the same guy who had the SEC Plus and the CEH got an email that he could not tell if it was phishing or not. And everybody was just killing him on Twitter about it. And I was like, what did my boy say? DC Young Fly. I was like, bring that eye here, boy. I was saying that just to be funny with him. But in all seriousness, these are the type of things that happens when you skip fundamentals. That's why. And you have also people that are under the impression like, hey, why does everybody want to just go straight to, you know, cybersecurity now? I think it's because it's been made sexy, but that's also because it's not a lot of us who are telling you, you know, that it's not always sexy. Like you seen in my old day in the life video that it's not like, oh, shoot 'em up, bang, bang, I'm just busy all the time. That was a glimpse. That might have been 30 minutes of what I would normally do at like in a day. Like normally I wasn't always that busy. So I have, it's a lot of downtime for what I do. And I got one coming for you guys very soon. Very soon I'm going to give you guys a day in the life video. I'm just trying to do it when it's on a busier day. That's all I can say about that. But in all actuality, man, wherever you're at right now, it may not be where you want to be, but if you just buckle down and keep on putting in the work, you'll get there. And you'll get there and you won't feel like you've been had or somebody tricked you and told you. Like, I'm here to tell you, it's not easy. Everybody is trying to get in cyber now. It's getting harder and harder. That's why the only people that's going to stand the test of time are the ones that put in the work. I got people that's been trying for a year to get in. And honestly, I would probably say 6 months to maybe 18 months, maybe how long it takes you just because of how much you got to learn, especially when you want to go technical. Everybody sometimes talks to them, they're trying to go straight technical. And I'm telling them, okay, you can do this, but it is tough to go straight technical against people who already been doing it. And once they get that down and they understand that, once they're willing to put in the work, sometimes it works for them. Now, my advice sometimes is, hey, if you're getting some other kind of skills, let's take it like a little entry level. You know, if you could get a help desk role, get it just for some more paid experience, some type of sysadmin role, some type of cloud support engineering role, or some type of support role, maybe where you're using a certain type of security tool, application support. Like, there are many different ways to get some of these skills and touch some of the tools that you wouldn't even touch until you had a job, because a lot of these things are gatekeeps. Now, nuggets for you is, for my people that want to go blue team or SOC, like you can, like I said, learn Azure for sure. Learn Azure. You can use Microsoft Sentinel, Microsoft Defender, all their other tools. Not for free. It's going to be some type of cost associated to it, but you can stand up some VMs, throw data inside of it, and you can get to work. And you can also research, how do I make correlation searches for a Sentinel? It already has a lot of good built ones in. How do I learn more about KQL? Those are things you can have on your resume. Those are things that can help you stand out. So if you are interested in getting into cybersecurity, check out Leveled Careers, Josh Matacore's cybersecurity course. I will pin it with the first comment on this video, and you can check that out. You can use my coupon code, TECTUAL10, to get 10% off your purchase. But guys, I hope you found this to be informative. This is a short episode, a solo one. I got some heat coming for y'all. I got a busy May. I'm going to be traveling this week. I'm going to be traveling the week after that. And so I'm going to be, by the end of May, I should be good to go, but I'm not traveling as much. And then June, I should be good. July, I'll be traveling again. But May has been very busy for me. But I'm going to still push this content out to you guys. I'm going to get out to you the best way I can. But I appreciate everybody for rocking with me. If you enjoyed this video or some things I didn't cover, please let me know in the description. I mean, if it's some things that you want to hear or some things I didn't cover, please let me know in the comments below. And like I always say, it's your boy HD. Let's stay textual. And I'm out.